Thank you, Caroline, for the introduction. As thousands of Syrian refugees are flowing into the European Union, our media outlets are reporting bits and pieces of the overall crisis. Today, I'm here to present on the health crisis impacting the displaced population inside of Syria. So I have no relationships to disclose. For this presentation, I will cover the legal status of internally displaced persons under international law, how the collapse of the health system in Syria is impacting IDPs, including their health problems and medical needs, as well as the impact of the international economic sanctions, and finally go over policy proposals. Internally displaced persons, like refugees, have been forced to flee their homes as a result of war, conflict, and persecution. But unlike refugees, they have not crossed an international border and are still under the jurisdiction of their state governments. And therefore, they have no protection or legal status under international law. The only international document that provides any guidelines on assisting IDPs is the Guiding Principles on Internal Displacement, first adopted by the UN General Assembly in 1998. But unfortunately, this document is not legally binding and only regarded as soft law. And currently, the country that has the highest number of IDPs in the world is Syria. Before the conflict, Syria had one of the best public health systems in the Arab world, placing great focus on preventative health. They had one of the lowest infant and maternal mortality rates in the region. Healthcare was free and granted to every Syrian under the country's constitution. In 2011, protests broke out against the Syrian ruler Bashar al-Assad, leading to civil unrest. As a result, more than 200,000 civilians have lost their lives and more than 7.6 million people have been internally displaced. Thousands of Syrian healthcare professionals have fled the country or have been systematically targeted and killed, leaving millions of patients with no access to healthcare. And 60 to 70% of all the hospitals in the country have been destroyed, the most vulnerable patient population in the country being IDPs. The economic structure of the country has also crumbled. Food prices have risen sharply. According to the World Food Program, more than 6 million IDPs are in urgent need of food aid. And according to UNICEF, acute malnutrition is becoming a serious threat among displaced children in various cities across Syria. Many of these children are suffering from anemia and vitamin A deficiency. Alongside food shortages, there's also been a lack of clean drinking water in many regions. And according to the UN, the scarcity of clean water is placing displaced children in a very high risk of waterborne illnesses, such as acute diarrhea. No access to basic needs, such as food and clean water, are some of the main reasons Syrian IDPs are reporting for their weakened mental health. And according to the World Health Organization, an estimated 2 million Syrians may be suffering from a form of mental disorder. With mass displacement comes increased trauma, and IDPs are the most vulnerable because they're still confined within the borders of civil unrest and continuously dealing with the trauma of war and violence. Some mental issues reported were intensified distress, fear, grief, anxiety, and depression. And countless displaced children have been indiscriminately killed or tortured, many the victims of sexual violence and forced child labor. As a result, these children are experiencing nightmares and bedwetting, and either becoming completely withdrawn or more aggressive. Before the conflict, the Syrian health system provided comprehensive care to 96% of all expectant mothers. Now, pregnant women must travel long distances to access hospitals and face many obstacles on the way, such as multiple checkpoints. And once they arrive at the hospital, most fail to get the proper care and treatment and delivery. Many newborns are losing their lives inside incubators as a result of power cuts to health facilities. And one report has highlighted that pregnant women exposed to chemical attacks have given birth to neonates with malformations, while others have suffered miscarriages and premature births. One of the strengths of the Syrian public health system was its vaccination program, providing 91% coverage. Now, that rate has fallen to 68% coverage. In October of 2013, as a result of the destruction of infrastructure, interruption in children's medical services, and poor sanitation, polio resurfaced in Syria. And in 2013, over 2,800 cases of TB were also reported. In addition, there has been a sudden rise in NCDs in the population. And more than 50% of Syrians who are being treated for chronic illnesses have had their treatments disrupted. The health system has also come under major pressure due to the economic sanctions that were imposed in May of 2011. The Syrian pound has decreased substantially in relation to the US dollar, leading to an increase in the cost of essential medicine and food prices. There has been a halt in the access of crucial drugs, including drugs for heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, which are not manufactured in Syria and only available from abroad. At the end of 2014, Syria suffered $143.8 billion in economic losses. So one important multilateral measure the international community can undertake is to place pressure on the United States and the European Union to reevaluate the effectiveness of the economic sanctions and their unintended consequences on the civilian population, and to ease the sanctions to allow the entrance of essential medicines. The U.S. first imposed sanctions on Syria in 1979, and from then on, the sanctions have only expanded. Policymakers must re-examine the impact of these sanctions because they have not been effective in achieving regime change in Syria. Instead, they have only damaged the health system of the country. The 2011 expansion has had the most crippling impact because Syrian hospitals have relied on medical equipment imported from Italy, Germany, and Britain, but the recent sanctions have blocked all imports from Europe. And in the last year, proposals have been set forth to create UN safe zones inside Syria. The establishment of field hospitals within these safe zones can drastically improve access to medical care. Underground field hospitals across Syria have already provided emergency services and surgeries to thousands of injured civilians. And the two medical organizations that have contributed to the success of these hospitals have been Doctors Without Borders and the Syrian American Medical Society. But now with both the US and Russia increasing airstrikes across the country, field hospitals established within UN safe zones will be guarded from these airstrikes. And finally, without a legal protection, IDPs are still helpless. This is why the Kampala Convention has been a milestone in the legal world concerning IDPs. The Kampala Convention is a framework that was established in 2009 by the African Union and enforced in 2012. It is the first legally binding framework that holds state governments accountable in Africa for ensuring the safety, protection, and individual rights of its internally displaced populations. It gives IDPs a legal definition and a legal status. If the Assad government is pressured to engage in diplomatic negotiations with the international community, a part of the negotiations should focus on insisting that the regime adopts a similar framework to the Kampala Convention. The Arab League can also be encouraged to implement a similar model since Syria is one of the original members of the League. So easing and amending the economic sanctions, establishing UN safe zones, and adopting a model based on the Kampala Convention are all viable policy proposals that should be examined by the international community to help alleviate the current health crisis impacting the displaced population inside of Syria. In summary, there are over 7.6 million displaced persons inside Syria. The civil conflict has destroyed the country's health system, leaving millions in a very helpless medical state. And the economic sanctions have only made matters worse, with civilians paying the ultimate price. There are creative and innovative solutions that are taking root right now inside Syria, and it's up to the international community to support and fund these solutions so the situation in the country does not continue to worsen. Thank you.
Thank Thank you to all the presenters. Those were very compelling presentations. And now we'll take questions. So we have quite a bit of time to open up the floor and have you ask questions to our presenters. So any questions back there?
Repeat the question for the recording. So the question is, what has been done to work towards a diagonal solution? And there's been actually a paradigmatic shift in terms of the way that the UN is now working on this. They've teamed up with the UNDP and the UN and the UN Development Group and the UN Development Program. So some of this language is now changing, and what they're calling, they used to be giving, providing these refugee response reports, and now it's called the 3RP initiative, which is for rehabilitation, but then also for what they're calling resilience. And so they're working in partnership with the ministries of health of Jordan and Lebanon, seems like where there's been the most partnership in terms of trying to build up the health systems and see where there are spaces to create a health system which is more able to respond. I'd say that from a bird's eye view, it's sort of interesting that the UNDP and the UNDG are coming in and working on health. Housing is a huge problem, water and sanitation is a huge problem. There's been a lot of focus on health care, and these other problems and the economic issues, the issues of creating jobs for refugees because, you know, they have to get their rent from somewhere, and those kinds of things are really complicated in countries with a lot of unemployment, but there's a lot of work to be done in those other areas.
All right, any other questions?